forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense, common knowledge, or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do, but only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast, now part of the Finding Genius Foundation. My guest today is Alina Kantner. She's what's called a postural restoration therapist, a PRT, helping people with their posture. I've done this myself. I've done, I guess, what's called the Egoscue method and a few other ones. And so I can say from personal experience, it really does make a dramatic difference in how you breathe, how you feel, how you carry yourself, all that stuff. But, you know, I don't want to spill the beans. We'll get into it. But welcome, Alina. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful to be on your show, on your podcast.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Tell me, what were you doing before you got into postural work? Like, how did it come on your radar? And what was the early days of it like? And then we'll talk about what's going on now.
Well, so I don't really say that I actually do like posture, which is kind of funny because I know it sounds like I do because postural restoration sounds like all posture. But I like to like explain that my background is actually in helping people with chronic pain. And that's what I still do. So a lot of, my background, I went to University of Arkansas and I studied athletic training there, which is essentially a healthcare provider that helps athletes on the sidelines of sports teams, you know, with their pre and post-op care, if they have an injury, if they have surgery, the rehab, the emergency care, if there's any emergency on the field. And so that's my background. And with that, I just wanted to expand it and work with people in a more one-on-one situation where I could really help that person. And I still do work with a good amount of athletes, professional athletes and such. But I also work with general people. And sometimes people come to me because they feel like their posture is off. Most of the time, if someone's posture is off, they're also having pain, discomfort, you know, things like that. So yeah, I've actually been doing this for years because I started coaching gymnastics when I was 15. So I got into the movement space around like 15, 16 years old. I was an athlete myself. I was an Olympic weightlifter and a gymnast. So it just made sense. So when I learned all of this, I started to learn specifically postural restoration around 2018. And it just made sense. And I just kept learning. And now here we are.
Okay. So what's like a typical example of someone, you know, you would help? What would be their situation and what would you do with them?
Yeah. So I mean, a lot of people that come to me, they have something that's been bothering them for years on end, 1 to 2 years, anywhere from a year, 6 months of pain to like 10 years, 15 years of pain. And I do the same evaluation on every single patient, even if they're a high level athlete or an 80-year-old, you know, grandfather, whatever. My evaluation consists of a lot of the typical things that you'll see in a regular physical therapy clinic, a regular athletic training room, which is a gait evaluation. So looking at how somebody moves through space. I look at hip range of motion, shoulder range of motion. But when I'm looking at hip and shoulder range of motion, it's quite different because even though the way I do the testing is the same as how I learned in school and it's how we do learn in traditional schooling, the way I'm interpreting the testing is different. We look at a lot of the same things that you'd see in a normal PT clinic. It's just that the interpretation is quite different because I'm looking at the body as we have a right half and a left half and both sides are not equal. So your right side is not the same as your left side. And so with that concept and that understanding, I'm able to truly evaluate the person for what they might need and then be able to give them some techniques that might mitigate their pain, whether it's right then and there where they feel a change or whether it's a couple weeks later and we need some more time. Sure.
Yeah, like I've seen people in the mall that, you know, their left foot may be out at a 45-degree angle. They're like lumbering along, you know, which tells me like their left hip is probably flared out or right. Someone's shoulders dropped on the left or the right or head is cocked to balance them or they walk with like, their hips are forward or their hips are back or their head is forward. I see all kinds of weird, now that I'm aware of it, I see all kinds of distortions everywhere.
Yeah, that and, you know, those are all clues as to how somebody is utilizing their body to get through space and their airflow, because a lot of it has to do with how we are able to manage our pressure internally. And a lot of it has to do with how we move through space. And they're actually, you know, one and the same thing. So we see a lot of these compensations occur, and it's not something that happens overnight, but it's years of buildup, the same way that someone's breathing is also years of buildup. So when we look at posture, and people come to me, you know, I want a better posture, which is like the cool way to look at my profession. In the end, if someone comes to me with chronic pain and they have a not suboptimal posture, if we work on the pain and get them into a better position, then if we work on the pain and get them into a better position, then ultimately their posture is going to improve as well.
So again, what's an example? What's a very common complaint someone has, and you know, what would you do to fix it, for instance?
I mean, I get low back pain all of the time, and certain, there are different postural restoration techniques that I can use to get somebody out of that low back pain. Now, that low back pain could be because they have pelvises on both sides, acetabulums that are forward on both sides, and could be putting that extra strain on their back. And, you know, we could do three techniques right then and there, and it could alleviate it. Our techniques always have some sort of respiratory component. They have a lot of visual components, even dental components in these breathing techniques. They're not strength and conditioning exercises. They're specific breathing techniques, and they're designed to teach the brain how to understand its space. So they're very intricate techniques, and they can make really significant changes, whether the changes happen right there. Not everybody gets changes immediately. Many people do, but sometimes people get changes later on.
Well, what's like a you know, a position you'd put someone in? Maybe the easiest to describe, since we're not on
video. Worked. Yeah, they're very torqued. A lot of our positions are very complex and torqued because of the understanding of that our human body is asymmetrical. So for example, we will do a lot of posterior pelvic tilting, but that's quite basic in postural restoration. The more advanced things would be where we have the entire thorax on the right side open so that the person's able to breathe into that more compressed right side, because with the diaphragm being bigger and having a lower attachment on that right side compared to the left side of the diaphragm, as well as the three lobes of lung being on the right side and only two lobes of lung being on the left side, as well as a liver in that right side of our thorax, we have more compression in that right side. So in order to get the airflow to be even inside of our thorax and understand that this is a pressure system, we will utilize even balloons, but also different torqued positions. I like to use the word torqued because that's ultimately what it looks like, although those positions are actually giving that person more symmetry in the end, because now we're doing airflow in this, you know, torqued position. It's giving that person the ability to breathe where they could not properly breathe before.
Well, what are some, you know, we got the natural asymmetries in a body, but what are some asymmetries people have? And what, you know, what's an example of one that would cause them a problem?
So like I just mentioned, that right liver, the liver that's on the right side, and then the right diaphragm and the three lobes of lung on the right. We also have a longer vagus nerve on the right side. We have our brain hemisphere that on the left hemisphere controls the right side of the body, and there's just more neuromuscular connection there. We will see a lot of certain asymmetries, but that doesn't mean that I always see that. So you mentioned the left foot turning out before. I typically don't see that as often as I see a right foot turning out. And there's a reason for that. So, you know, right foot.
What's the reason?
The body weight is more over on that right side because of these asymmetries. And therefore, we'll see people turn their right foot out or get bunions. But that's not to say that someone's not going to have a left foot that turns out. There's different reasons for that. So all of these little clues that we see in the body tell us how that person is managing. So I'll see a lot of compressed right rib cages, a lot of hips on the right side that are more elevated compared to the left, because that, you know, right rib and right hip, that whole area right there is more compressed towards each other. We'll see a lot of left ribs that are extremely elevated and lifted upwards, so very hyperinflated on that left side. But we also see hyperinflation on both sides. We see left ears that are a little bit more flared out, more visible when you're looking at somebody's face. We'll see right eyes that are lower compared to left. So all of, but at the same time, I also see opposite of everything I just said. So there's a reason as to why it would be one way versus the other way. And that's where postural restoration gets very interesting, because these are all patterns that we see because of the internal asymmetries we have, because of the way we developed, because of our childhood, because of who we are as a person, our personality, and even things like retained reflexes can cause asymmetries. So I've been diving into other things, but definitely like just learning about the world of asymmetry is fascinating to me.
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on Support Us. We have 3 levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click Support Us today. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, you know, an interesting example is Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas. If you look at her, her face is really unusual. It looks like distorted in all kinds of very strange ways. She would probably be like a PhD study to a postural person.
Yeah, yeah,
if you look at a picture of her.
Yeah, I just pulled her up. I went to University of Arkansas.
Okay.
She kind of looks like in some of these photos that she actually has an eye turn, like a strabismus. I am not sure, but it does a little bit look like that. I don't know. You can't really tell. But this one photo I see of her right now, like her left eye just looks very different than her right eye. Her right eyebrow is much lower than her left. She has a lot of this facial asymmetry you're talking about. And so now what type of asymmetry that requires more of a full evaluation, but you're very correct here.
Yeah, just once you're aware of it, like I see people with moon faces, you know, their chin and all that goes off to either the left or the right. And their whole face kind of like is like a crescent moon shape instead of just straight up and down and symmetrical. I remember years ago, they talked about Denzel Washington, like part of the reason he was so handsome, they said, because he was very symmetrical faced. It's just interesting, all these things that come up.
There is a lot of research to show that being beautiful in our society does equate to symmetry. Although there are some people that have pretty asymmetrical faces that are celebrities and beautiful as well. So, yeah, I mean, with the governor of Arkansas, what's interesting is I would be so interested to look at what her teeth look like and what her bite looks like, because zoom in, it looks like she has a crossbite on both sides. So, and that
she needs to call you for help, you know, because no, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I would help her for sure if she has pain, you know, and she's interested. But
sure.
That's why people are attracted to this, because people are attracted to things that teach us more about who we are. And that's what postural restoration does. It helps you learn more about who you are and how to make changes to things like even appearance and posture, et cetera. So, yeah,
like a common thing I see nowadays, I guess, is, you know, because everyone's always texting on their phone or, you know, on the computer, that their heads are forward. I guess they call it forward head carry.
Yeah.
They have like, some of them look like they have a hump, like a dowager's hump on their back. What would you do in cases like that? Is that common that you see it?
Yeah, it's very common. I definitely think that this text neck situation, I do think that screens are a huge contributing factor. I've read research that you should not even... like a kid should not be on screens until they're after 2 years old, because now there's research showing that it even can show false autism rates. Like it mimics what autism does for little kids. But we're not meant to be looking at screens like that. We're not meant to be looking down. We're meant to walk with our eyes horizontal to the ground and being able to see our surroundings. So I do think that the computers, the cell phones have really caused some issues with the development of children. I also think for adults too. But I think what happens is we're always focused on this forward head posture, but it's not necessarily a forward head posture. It's actually a more of a straight neck posture. So the head will come forward because the cervical spine has lost its natural 30 degrees of curvature. And we do see complications with that. So yeah, it's a posture problem, but most people that have that visible issue going on with their head and neck, they also have a lot of pressure at the base of their skull, their occiput, and those people are also in pain. They have their sternocleidomastoids do not shut off, the front of the neck doesn't stop working. They'll feel a lot of neck tension all the time. And over time, being in that position, it does not allow you to properly get airflow. It will have implications on the rib cage, negative implications, where the rib cage is not properly able to move because now that whole neck is pulling it in a different direction. So the neck is very powerful. And I see a lot of people with this problem, especially people that work on computers all day. I do think airflow is it can be a very big way to make changes.
What do you mean airflow? Like, what happens to someone with that forward head carry? Is their breathing impeded? Is there airflow?
Yeah. So if you have that straightened neck posture, your positioning of everything from your, you know, being able to breathe, all the muscles in the anterior neck, it's compressed. It's not in the right place. So when we restore that lordosis as much as we can, when we give the brain the sense of what it needs to restore the lordosis, we can mitigate that pain. So yeah, we see a lot of these things. So I will see people all the time with this straight neck and I'll feel the neck. And then 3-4 sessions in, I'm like, oh, your neck feels a lot better. And it's not that I don't agree with any of this stuff, like these pillows that are forcing the neck into different positions. I don't agree with that.
I've tried it and it hurt real bad.
It doesn't work. You cannot force the body to do something. It's all airflow that's going to make a change and sense. And that's what PRI does. We give the body sensation via teeth, eyes, and feet, sometimes hearing too, and sometimes playing with things with our nose as well. So our 5 senses. And on top of that, we hold these specific positions and we allow for the person to own the position by breathing there.
So you have a lot of luck with treating this forward head carry. Like, do most people get a lot better, or how long does it take?
Yeah, well, it is very person specific, because you could come to me and you've had Invisalign 3 times, you had braces growing up for 5 years, you had Invisalign twice, your teeth keep shifting, and you also had LASIK eye surgery. Like, that's going to be a complicated case. Or you could come to me and you've never had braces in your life, you've never had any head injuries, you just have some TMJ problems out of nowhere. So whatever, you had something pop up, and typically there's always a reason as to why it happens. It's never really out of nowhere. But you know, so I can't ever really say how long it's going to take, because it really depends on what that person has been through. However, I do see changes in people. Now, visible changes take time. My posture has changed, but I've been doing this for 3-4 years myself, or even longer, to be honest, but really focusing in on it the last 4 years and doing things with my teeth and doing things with my eyes that have made a significant difference for me. And that's what I have needed. Not everybody needs that. But I do see major changes with people's cervical spine. And to the point where I can feel that there's a change. If we image them, I don't know, it could be a change. However, the person feels better. So what's not to say in 2, 3, 4 years from now later that their neck is going to be in a better position as well, despite how much work they do on a computer. So a lot of times people don't realize it's a lot of other accessory things, LASIK eye surgery, all these other things that could be contributing factors. The glasses people are wearing, what they have on their teeth and what they have on their feet could be pretty significant contributing factors.
Well, you said people feel better. What does that mean for some people? Like, what's better for them? What do they experience?
Well, if somebody comes to me in chronic neck pain after 4 sessions, they don't have that anymore. They're not experiencing that they wake up in pain every morning. To me, that's a goal right there. That's awesome.
But what about unexpected benefits? You know, let's say if someone has like significant head carry, maybe they feel okay, or they think they feel okay. There's nothing like really irking them big time, but they don't like how it looks. And you know, if you've restored someone's neck position that was like that, what would they tell you that were the benefits? Maybe some they didn't expect, or they were surprised.
Sure. We get a lot of changes with people's sleep, feeling deeper, just feeling lighter overall. If somebody has headaches and migraines, things like that changing. So it is very person specific. I mean, I can tell you a bit about my own little story here, which is something that I never expected. I learned this, a lot of postural restoration, living in Texas. I went down there to learn from a mentor. And when I was living down there, I ended up getting my eyes looked at. I've worn glasses since I'm 15 years old, and I never had glasses. Nobody in my family has glasses. I had a head injury when I was like 13. I probably got glasses around 14 or 15, probably seriously wore them around 16, 17, 15, around then. When I started driving, I really started to need glasses. Anyway, so I've been in glasses for years and years and years. And as you're in glasses for a long time with a myopic prescription, typically it goes up. That's what typically happens. That's exactly what happened to me. So now, 15 years later, 12 years later, whatever amount it was, I'm in Texas. I get my eyes looked at, and he looks at me and he's like, "You're very overcorrected." So I was overcorrected by a full diopter in both my eyes, meaning if I was a -2, which I about was, that means that I really needed to be a -1. So what my eyes are doing all day is pinholed, having to dress my nervous system to look very perfect, to see super, super far and perfect. And in this time frame, I actually, really, my glasses prescription was pretty stayed around the same level for years. And then I became an Olympic weightlifter. So 4 years prior to that appointment, I became an Olympic weightlifter and my eyeglass prescription went up during the time I was doing weightlifting. And that was also when I stopped sleeping. So I had pretty bad insomnia for 4 years of my life. And it was really, really rough. And I can relate to a lot of my patients that come in and that's their issue. So in some ways it makes me more relatable, but also it was a really hard time of my life where I did not sleep. I've had to, you know, take sleep medication and ended up getting these newer, lower prescription glasses. And within the first week of being in them, my sleep changed. And it's not like it goes from being an insomnia to, wow, I sleep perfectly now. It doesn't, that's not how it works. But I went from sleeping 3 to 4 hours, a couple nights a week, and maybe, you know, really, really poor sleep, to now sleeping 5, 6, 7 hours. And to now, 2, 3 years later, I sleep, you know, 7 to 8 hours every single night. I don't struggle really at all with sleep. Was it my glasses? Was it my stress bucket being too full? All I know is that when I got out of those older glasses, that week, I felt some wild changes. And since then, sure, I still had nights of poor sleep, but that was a very big turning point for me. Now, that is a very rare thing. That's not what we always see, but I do have people, and I just had a patient text me this morning saying he didn't wake up with a cortisol rush in the morning. He usually wakes up ready to go, fired up, kind of like jumping up out of bed instead of like slowly getting up, having a nice morning. So I do see a lot of very, you know, interesting benefits that everyone is different. So I don't always know. I've had people where their constipation changed. They were able to go to the bathroom like post-session within the hour, and they usually struggle with constipation. And now they use that for being able to go to the bathroom. So you're really playing with the human body. So quite different for everybody, but it can be so powerful, which is amazing.
You know, maybe it's a stupid question, but do you have to do everything in person? Is there any benefit to be had by doing a Zoom session with someone and telling them do this and do that, like watching them on their own camera? Or do you have to really be in person to do this?
I don't think that's a stupid question. I did virtual sessions for the last few years. I just closed my calendar just because it's very hard to do it properly virtually. I think that it can be done. I have gotten people better virtually. I've made impactful changes. My colleagues in the field do it virtual and are able to be quite impactful with other people, especially because there are not that many postural restoration providers. There are more people training and it's, you know, it's growing. However, you go to a place like the Philippines, you're not finding a PRI provider. I have a good amount of patients in the Philippines, in Australia. It's certain places just don't have this. So what I can give them is the ability to try and get better with what I do. So you can do it virtually. You have to be pretty aware of your body and a pretty decent mover. I do think that that helps. Although a lot of the stuff, I think if it's done properly, it can be done virtually. But I have closed my calendar because I think, well, personally, I like meeting in person with people. I like to learn people and get to know the person in front of me. And with a screen, it doesn't feel the same. So that's me. But I have friends all over the country that do it virtually and have success. So, yeah.
Okay. Where can you help people then? Where is your office located? What radius do you serve?
Sure. So I do travel a lot, but my prime location is in New York City. So in New York City and Long Beach, Long Island, I work in Midtown Manhattan, and I see patients in Midtown Manhattan 1 to 2 times a week. It's probably going to be one time a week this summer. And then I see patients in Long Beach, which is about an hour from the city. It's on Long Island. And when I travel, like I'm in San Diego right now, I saw patients earlier this week, but I am about to launch a very big virtual membership where there's going to be real community feel and be able to help people with the techniques from afar. So that's the point of being able to get this out there. So as much as I am one person, I can't treat every single person who might come across this, but there are people all over the country doing what I do. I have colleagues and yeah, so it's out there. It's getting there.
Okay. What are the reasons people give you that they came to you? Do they come to you like when they're at the end of their rope?
Yes.
And what's bugging them?
Yes, they do come to me when they are at the end of their rope. They come to me when they have done a lot. They've seen, you know, 10 other providers, and I'm typically one of their last ditch efforts. I have people all the time who are really out of hope. And I think that I take that with a really high level of trying to do my best for them, because I know what it's also like to feel out of hope when you're struggling with something. And I feel like the provider has to really be there for that patient. So a lot of people come to me not just with concerns about pain. I get a lot of patients that have autoimmune issues that are struggling with tons of other issues, mold, Lyme disease, babesia. I get a load of different things, breast implant illness, you know, because it's never really one thing. A lot of emotional trauma can really contribute to pain. So people come to me with everything, and I try my best using my specialty, but then referring them to people that I feel are the best in their field.
Okay. What are they telling you? Oh, my back hurts, my leg hurts, or, you know, what have they been told? Here, just take muscle relaxers. Here, do an x-ray. Nothing looks bad in the x-ray. Like, what are patients telling you?
Well, it depends on the patient. I mean, sure, I've had patients come to me, you know, straight out of doing a lot of conventional care. So things like that, like you just said, x-ray, nothing's on the x-ray. I've done MRIs. I still am in pain. I've also had patients who've done a ton of alternative medicine. They've done muscle energy testing. They've done chiropractic for tried four different chiropractors. So I think that it really depends on that person. I've had people come to me with traumatic brain injuries. They're 3 years out of having a really bad traumatic brain injury, and they're still struggling with symptoms related. So it's so person specific. That's one reason I like my job, is I get a lot of variety and I can help a good amount of people with it.
And what are you and other people called if someone's to look for you, or someone that has, you know, let's say someone doesn't live in New York, they want this help, they're listening, they're in Texas. What would they Google or look for?
Yeah, we're postural restoration, you know, practitioners, providers. Typically, a lot of us have a background in the field. So I went to school for kinesiology, and then I'm a certified athletic trainer. So I'm in the medical health profession field. A lot of people are physical therapists that study what I do, and then chiropractors as well. And you actually can go to the postural restoration website, and there is a find a provider map. Although on my new membership that I'm launching, I'm going to have find a provider with dentists, optometrists, myofunctional therapists, and PRI providers that I know specifically and that I refer to. So there's ways to find people. It might not be the easiest thing to find out there because it's just really not out there, but it's definitely getting there.
Well, Lena, what's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions or they want help from you?
Sure. My Instagram is really where I'm most active, and it's just my name. So Alina Kanner. Yeah, that's pretty much the best way. I do have a website. And like I said, soon that membership's going to launch in the next few weeks here. And that's really where people will be able to get the most out of what I can offer.
Well, very good. Okay, Lena. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius Podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at FindingGeniusPodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.